Amen, amen. Just want to, before we get into the word, again, if you have not signed up, for those that came in late, for the evangelism training or conference we're doing next Saturday at our house at 1:30, please sign up today. Jenny has the sign-up sheet. Raise your hand, Jenny, if you don't know who she is. There she is. Please sign up with her. Well, actually, now it's in the back. The sheet's in the back. Now, let's put some fears away. If you've said to yourself, well, I'm not going to go street evangelizing. I'm not going to do that. Why should I go? Well, have you been thinking about your friends at work that you've been trying to be a testimony to? Have you been thinking about your neighbors that you're trying to be a good witness to? It's not about being a street preacher. It's about being more effective in how you share the love of God. So if you got family, people in your life you're trying to just share the love of God with, you need to be here. So please sign up. It's going to be an awesome time, and you need to be here next Sunday morning and bring somebody with you. It's going to be a powerful time. We're just so excited to have Ben and his family here to share with us next week. So anyway, thank you, Jacob. Right now, as we get into the Word, we started last week a short series called Stewarding the New Year. And we began by talking about fasting. If you missed it, please listen to it on the website. It's there. Because for those that weren't here, beginning in January, as we've done last few years, we are fasting in the new year. From January 1st to January 31st. You pray how the Holy Spirit leads you to fast, and you fast. And we talked about the impact of that and what the breakthroughs we're looking for and we're believing in Jesus' name. We also are going to be, during that time, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 8 p.m. at our home, will be a time of prayer. So it just walk right in. Don't even knock. Between 7 and 8. Just come right in. We will be praying in the orange room. Just come and join us for a time of prayer. It won't be a social hour. It will be strictly prayer. We start at 7. We end at 8. So we just encourage you all and invite you all to come. But as we get into this stewarding the new year, remember what stewarding is. Stewarding is the one who owns something entrusts me to care for it his way. His way. God is doing these things, doing some amazing things. And what he's done now is saying, I'm giving you this new year. And I'm trusting you to lay a strong foundation as you enter January 1st, 2018. I'm trusting you to do it my way. And today is what I want to talk about is tithing. Why? Why do I have to worry about tithing? What does that have to do with stewarding the new year? Well, for some of you, this will be a refresher. Some of you, you're hearing this for the first time, some of these things. But all in all, we're believing in new revelation to seep into our hearts. New revelation of who God is in our lives as we worship him in tithing. This was a topic I hated preaching on, sharing on. I would cringe every time someone says, you need to preach about tithing. Because the mentality, not just with me, but in generally in this area, because of the strong Catholic emphasis, is it's almost like paying dues. It's almost like paying a bill. And I used to think, you know, I don't want to talk about tithing because I don't want to make anyone feel like we're coercing them into something. Until the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and taught me how tithing is not coercing. It's not a debt you pay. It's a blessing of worship. It's an act of worship. That's what it is. And not just that. And as we get into today, how when I am faithful in my tithe, I open the door for God to release his blessing. There's a blessing to this that we forget. And we're going to get into that more and more. So God, giving or tithing is a principle that runs throughout the Word of God. And when we talk about tithes, it literally means a tenth. So basically, a tenth of what you make, you receive, you give back to God. And let's understand something. You don't give it back to the church. You give it to God. The church is the steward of God's money for the work and purpose of His kingdom. So when you tithe, you're not tithing to me. You're not tithing to BCF. That might be what's on your check. That might be what the entity you're giving, but you're giving to God. You're saying, Lord, You've blessed me with this, and I am giving You the 10% that's already Yours, and we'll get into that even more in just a second. So as we begin, let's understand something. First and foremost, the foundation. It all belongs to God. Anyway, can we say that together? It all belongs to God anyway. So, the check that I get from my boss belongs to God, because the money they have to give me a check belongs to God. Because the money that came in that they got to give to me belongs to God. And we can keep going and going and going. It all belongs to Him anyway. So what I'm doing is when I am trusting Him with what He's given me, I'm being a steward of it, to say, Lord, I'm going to honor You by tithing to You, giving a tenth as You've called me to. So Genesis 2, 15 and 17 says this. Then the Lord God took the man, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you can eat of it, you surely die. See, Adam was given stewardship of the garden. God said, this is my garden. Everything in it belongs to me. I'm trusting you to care for it the way I would care for it myself. And part of that, in a way you can look at it as a tithe, is say, don't touch this part of the tree. This part of the garden. The whole entire garden is yours to play with. But don't touch with this, because this belongs to me. So He was entrusting Adam. Faithful stewardship of the garden meant leaving this one tree alone. And when that didn't happen, Adam and Eve were not good stewards of the things of God. See, I remember as a kid growing up in a Southern Baptist church, the one thing that I still remember to this day, and I can still see the vision of my Sunday school classroom, we all had little envelopes. Not like the envelopes you guys get in the bulletins nowadays, but what we had back then is a member of every family got their own little box of envelopes for the year. You actually had a number on it, so that when I put my 25 cents as an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old in, at the end of the year, I got a little letter from me that said, I gave $15 or whatever it was. And you know, as a kid, it made me feel good that I gave back to God. I was able to bless, even though it was 25 cents. And then the joy of when I first started working my first job at Acme Shopping Center, to be able to now tithe. So I was making, you know, 40 bucks a week. I was able to give $4. And that became a joyous thing, because it blessed Him to see my faithfulness that was ingrained in me young. And that's something that I pray that our youth remember right now, that, you know, it's not just for the old or the older or the mom and dads, but it's for every single one of us. My parents were faithful tithers, and they always taught us to tithe. Didn't matter how much it is. And it's a way of thinking. If I think I'm paying a bill, I'm going to be like, ooh, I got to do this. So I'm not doing it with a joy of what God can do. But when I go, Lord, here it is, it's Yours. I can't wait to give it to You. Because now I'm at a point in my life, I get excited about giving to God. It's so exciting, because the Lord allows us to see sometimes how He multiplies it. what he does with it. And that's the joy that we have. It's an exciting thing when we're able to say, God, here it is, it's yours. And see, the enemy wants you to think a lot of times, it's yours. You need it. You need it. Don't give it to God. You got to pay this bill or that bill and that bill. That's the same mentality the devil used with Adam, right? God didn't want you to eat this tree because you're missing out on something you can get. So that 10% of my paycheck that belongs to God anyway, that I choose to say, well, I need it for my bills, I'm saying to God, well, I'm missing out on something that I could be doing with this if I give it to you. It's that same lie of the enemy. Because when we do that, we're saying, God, I don't trust you to be Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. I'm not trusting you to meet all my provisional needs, to care for me. I got to do it for me myself. And there's an element of pride here. There's a pure lack of faith. Call it out as it is. It's a lack of faith. And you know what? The enemy attacked me at different times in my life with it. I was not honorable to God at times. And you know what I found out? Those times that I wasn't, I kept being in need. I couldn't get out of the cycle of need because I kept saying, but God, I got to do, you know. And then when faithfulness took over and God renewed my mind of what this is all about, all of a sudden, God began to work things out that don't make sense to the human mind. That's how God works. It doesn't make sense, but he blesses the ones that give, that trust, because it's not about the giving act, but the faith behind the act, the worship behind the act of giving. So as we enter the new year, we're giving God our flesh as we fast and pray, but we're also going to trust him with the things he's given us financially, because there's nothing more of a struggle for the human being to give to God sometimes in their finances, to trust him with it. That's one of the greatest struggles. See, tithing, there's a principle of a first fruit concept here that is within tithing that we'll get into some other time about first fruit, go a little deeper. But it's the first tenth of what I have, I give to God. I trust him with it. In the Old Testament, the firstborn son is dedicated to God. I'm giving them to you, Lord. I trust him. Tithing, as I said, represents a test for every Christian. See, it's a tenth. Well, let's look at the number 10 is a number of testing in the Bible. It's a number of testing. You have 10 plagues in the 10 commandments. Israel was tested 10 times in the wilderness. God tested Jacob's heart, allowing his wages to be changed, or working for Laban for those 10 years. Daniel was tested in chapter 1. In Matthew, there was 10 virgins with the oil. The Revelation 2:10 says, "For do not fear of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So the number 10 is a number of testing, and it's the ultimate heart test for me and for you. I need to trust you, Lord, with this. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be." The Bible also says you can't serve God and mammon too. So it is a measure of where my heart is. Malachi 3:10, and we're going to spend some time in Malachi in a little bit. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, for there may be food in my house." It's to God. "And try me now." Test me now. I love that. This is my favorite part of talking about tithing, when God says, go ahead. make my day and test me. Go ahead and test me now. Watch what I'm going to do, because he is so faithful to do it, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, I love that, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. If I tithe, I am blessed. I am blessed. But see, what do we know in terms of principles in Scripture? Where there's a blessing, when we do something to honor God, there's also a what? A curse when we don't, right? Blessing and curses are polar opposites. And the ultimate thing with a curse is separation from God. And that's the thing that happens when we don't honor God the way he calls us to. There's that separation in the spirit from God. All of a sudden, we're not hearing from God like we used to hear. We shut the door to the open heavens where God can just pour out his presence, his glory, his wonder, his work. Because we have chosen to hinder him from being everything he wants to be. See, you know, one of the things we keep saying here is everything in the kingdom of heaven is received. How can I receive from the kingdom of heaven if I'm still holding on to something else with my hands? If I'm still holding on to something I believe in my mind is mine and I need to control it, my hands are not in a position to receive what God wants to pour out. And this is clearly identified as we honor God and worship him with our tithe. So I want to look at quickly four principles in tithing. Number one is tithing overcomes the curse. Look, going back to Malachi 3. This is referring to judgment and curse. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And yet who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners, and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, fear in the Bible is reverence, for they don't have reverence or awe of who I am, which goes along with what his principles are and his precepts are. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? So we've been distant from you, God. How in the world? You're calling us back home. What is the best way? How do you want us to come back to get our hearts back in the place they need to be in sync with your heart and your will and your purpose, so heaven can be opened? How do you want us? What way shall we return? And he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? His response, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So things that belong to him anyway, that he only asked for a tenth of as a heart, an act of worship, of our hearts, of faith, they've been withholding. And he's saying, you've been separate from me. And that separation is a curse. Because if God's hand is not covering me, I'm open to that roaring lion that seeks whom he may devour. I'm open. I leave myself spiritually defenseless to the attacks of the enemy, which include my household finances. And if we as a church don't tithe, we open ourselves up to being defenseless spiritually from the attacks of the enemy. This is what this is all about. We are cursed because we are separate from God. God says, I can't cover you with my grace, with my hand, with my love, with my protection, if you're still running off on your own, doing things your way. I can't go where you're going because it's not righteous. It's not, which means in right standing with me. You're not following my directives. And I want to so badly pour out my blessings on you and cover you with my grace and my love and bless your household. But you're telling me no by your actions. You're telling me no by your actions. As I said, when I was walking this path, I kept going through that cycle over and over again. And Lord going, but even when it made sense to my human intellect, it didn't work out. Because I was doing things my way. Was not trusting him. And see, when we do it that way, what are we walking in? Fear. Right? That's what it is, right? Let's call it what it is. It's fear because we're telling God we have to protect ourselves because if I don't do it this way in my mind, I might lose my home. I may have my water shut off, my this, my that. How am I going to provide food at the table? That's walking in fear. Is that how God wants us to live our lives? Is that a victorious living? Is that how a son and a daughter of the king are meant to walk? In fear? We sit at the right hand of God in Christ. You think Christ, as we are in him, he is lacking anything? And if we are in him, we've been told in Ephesians, every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to us in Christ Jesus. But we have to do it his way. True love overcomes fear. Our true love for him overcomes the fear of what it looks like out here. A part, an act of worship, of revelation of that true love is to trust him with these things. That God, you can do this. This might shock you, but do you know God loves your husband or wife more than you do? Because she was, and he was, his daughter and son before they were your husband or wife. Do you realize God loves your children more than you do? Do you realize he loves your household more than any one of us can? And do we realize he's got a better plan than we do? I don't care what 401, 403 retirement plan you have, I have. What financial budgeting you've done, he knows better. He'll show you. My wife and I, one of the things we always pray, Lord, help us to steward what you give us because it belongs to you anyway. And you know the concept, the principle of he who's faithful with little will be entrusted with more? When I'm faithful with the little that I may have, he's going to trust me with the more he wants to give me, because I will be faithful with the more. These are just principles that run throughout Scripture. This is God's heart. He's trusting me to do this. But at the same time, where there are curses, when we do it God's way, there are blessings. So let's look at the blessings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, he continues in verse 10 of Malachi 3. that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, or test me, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, the devourer that's out to destroy your household. The enemy does two things in a household that are vital. He attacks the husband and wife relationship, because that is the foundation of every household. And one of the ways that he attacks them is finances. One of the greatest reasons for divorce is financial reasons. So he attacks them, and he attacks them in finances, because there's nothing that can cause more stress to a family than financial stress. Okay? And what happens when we begin to get stressed out? All of a sudden, we're nitpicking at each other. We're yelling and screaming. We're quick-tempered. We're frustrated. We're not on the same page. Okay? Because our focus is not on the things of God anymore, but on our situation. So he rebukes the devourer when we do it his way. The one that comes to gnaw at our family. So that he will, I love this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, the labor, the things you work hard to attain, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed. You'll be a testimony. For you will be a delightful land. You want God's presence in your home that people, when they walk in, say, I feel something. I feel peace here. I feel joy. I just feel good when I walk in your home. He's rebuking the devourer from our homes, because he's releasing his blessing over our homes. The tithe has a great deal to do with it, because it's not the dollar figure, but the heart attitude of worship. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to rest in our home. Not just come into our home, but rest in our home when we are trusting God this wholeheartedly. 13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. This is God saying to the people, this is what you guys have said. It's useless to serve God. What profit is it that you have kept his ordinance and that you have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. In other words, the ones who just gained and gained by doing their own thing. We look at them and say, they're blessed. Why? Because we have nothing to compare them to, because there's no one that's been honoring God the right way where people can say they're blessed. Because there's a difference. Let me. We all know this in the back of our hearts. Rich people that are not walking with the Lord are constantly miserable because they're protective of what they have and they're seeking more of their insecurity. Yes, they can flaunt it, but they're at what cost? A blessed person, doesn't matter what you have, it's the provisions of God are taking care of you, and you are never in need. You're walking in faith, and you're walking in the joy of the Lord that is your strength, because you've done it God's way. But he's saying, you guys call these people blessed because you have no other example of what a true blessed household is. For those who do wickedness are raised up, they even tempt God and go free. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So as a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. He says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So he's saying, when you start doing it my way, all of a sudden, your judgment will come back to you. You will start to recognize. Remember when we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits? This is all part of it. You'll be able to discern, oh, they're not walking with the Lord. See, we live in a world where it's distorted. What is true of God is now become distorted with what is not of God but looks good. And it's distorted not because it is distorted. It's distorted because our vision is distorted. Okay? Our vision is distorted. Our judgment is lacking because we're not sensing and walk as we walk in the Spirit because we've been under a curse. It affects our judgment, guys. It affects how we raise our kids. What we allow in our home, what we don't allow in our home. But when we honor God, He realigns our sight. He gives us 20/20 spiritual vision to know and discern evil, right and wrong. That what looks good on the outside may not be, but a facade. So you will know the difference between right or wrong as you trust God with your tithes. He says, try me now on this in verse 10. Do our part and see what God does. What will God do if I will not open the storehouses of heaven? Galatians 3:13 and 14 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, and the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then he continues, I think that's 1 Peter 2:24. He who bore himself our sins, his own body on a tree, that we have died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He's releasing his blessing on us when we honor him. Second thing, the tithe is holy to God. Leviticus 27:30, this is God giving instruction to Israel on how to prosper in the land. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. When something is holy, it is pure, it is separated, it is consecrated for him. So our tithe is holy. One of the things that I get antsy about sometimes is when we get any form of income, I want to get that tithe out of my house quickly. Even to the point where if I can, I write the check right away and put it where I bring stuff to church on Sunday morning. Because that's God's. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to play with it. I don't want to touch it. I don't even want to think about it. When we get paid, the first thing we do when we look at our bill, when we put our checkbook together, is here's what we received that God blessed us with. Here's our tithe. That's the very next line is what we tithe because we want to get it out. It is holy to God. I am not going to touch what is holy to God. I will not defile what is holy to God. I don't want to reap those consequences. I want to honor God and receive the blessing. Because that is a powerful thing. Deuteronomy 26, 1 and 2. It shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of the produce of the ground which you will bring from your land, and the Lord your God is giving you, again, it's his, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. In other words, when God gives you something, put it in what you need to carry it in, whether it's your wallet or your fruit basket, and you give it to God. It is his. It is holy. I want to skip now to the third thing. The tithe is blessed. 2 Chronicles 31, 4 through 10. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give a portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn wine, oil, honey, and all of the increase of the field, and the tithe of all the things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah, they dwelt in the cities of Judah. They also brought in the tithe of oxen, sheep, and the tithe of holy things. They were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished in the seventh month. Okay. So for 4 months, they kept bringing in their tithes. And when Hezekiah and the princesses came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heap. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began bringing the offerings into the house of the Lord, we had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. People tithe, God blessed it even more. The more blessed, the more they tithe. It's a beautiful thing, you know? Again, the principle of, I trust you with a little, you honor me with a little, I'm going to give you more that I trust you with. You honor me with the more, I'm going to give you even more. You trust me with the even more, and so forth. The Lord, as we earn his trust in faith and worship, he blesses, he increases his blessing. Why? Because we are stewarding the blessing. You may not have ever heard that statement before, but when we tithe and we honor him in these things, we are stewarding his blessings. As he blesses, we're being honorable to that, and he's trusting us with it. And the tithe didn't just bless one individual or one household, but the whole nation. People, this is a story of a nation that got excited about giving to God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if we as a church get excited every week? I can't wait to go to church to give to God. See, we can't wait to go to church sometimes to see our friends, to sing. Some of us just need to just be in his presence. How many of us say, I can't wait to go into church to give? But that's part of it. That's all part of it, the excitement, because worship is worship. It's a heart thing. It's not one or the other. That's why we have these up here and that there. Our hearts, God told us a few years ago, don't pass the plate around anymore. When people give, let it be an act of worship. Whether it's coming to the altar, kneel and giving to God, or as they enter the house of worship, give their offerings before the Lord as they enter. Because both are scriptural. That's why one is in the back and one is in the front. Because it is an act of worship. And you know what? Year before we did it, over a year, the Lord told us to do it. Why I said kept saying no? It's because I was walking in fear. But Lord, tithes will decrease. How will we survive as a church if we're not reminding people to give? And God goes, really? You lack that much faith? So I had to repent about that and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. And the Lord has actually brought the increase as we trusted him and continues to increase. And I'm not sharing this message to you because we're in a financial strait right now. I'm really not. We're actually doing good. But I want you to be blessed as now and as we move forward. We're laying a foundation that this church is blessed. And those who worship here worship with a pure heart that honors God in every way possible. That those who come in will be grafted into this blessing. Okay? We want his presence to just overwhelm in every which way. And the final point is the tithe is simply multiplied. Luke 9, 12, 17 says, when they began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away. This is Jesus preaching to the thousands. That they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them sit down. And he took 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it and broke it and said, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude." Hey guys, I asked my Father to bless these loaves and these fish. Now you steward the blessing of what God's going to do right now. He's going to do this blessing through your hands. He's trusting you 12, whether you realize that's what's going on now or not. He's trusting you to steward this blessing and this miracle. It's going to come through you. He wants to work through you to do this. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. The miracle didn't happen in Jesus' hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. Something must be blessed before it's multiplied. Here's some basic principles here. For something to be multiplied, it has to be blessed first. How is it blessed? By honoring God with it, realizing it is holy. It is consecrated for Him. So we honor Him with it first. Before money can multiply, it must be blessed, given to the Lord according to His principles. We honor Him with our income, with what we get. Whether it's a gift card, whether it's a check in the mail from a parent or a friend, whether it's our payroll check. If it comes in, "Lord, here it is. Man, somebody gave me a $25 check. $2.50 are yours, Lord. I'm not even thinking twice about that. Because I want the $22.50 that's left to be blessed. It belongs to you, and I want it blessed." Why? Romans 11:16 says, "For the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are its branches." The opposite also applies. Okay? If I take what is holy and defile it, then the lump is unholy, and its branches are not going to be fruitful because they're going to be unholy. So for it to be multiplied, it has to be blessed. Second thing is, only what is given away can multiply. Okay? Remember, everything in the kingdom of God is received. As I give it away, He gives more. That's His principle. As I pour out, He pours in. After Jesus blessed the bread and fish, what did they do? The disciples gave it away. Because let's also be honest. If I don't know how many of you guys ever sat down to a fish, but we went out a week or so ago, and I got, you know, a baked fish, a whole fish baked. That's going to barely feed one person. Okay? There's 5,000. Forget the 5,000. There was 12 disciples. It wasn't going to feed more than, especially Peter, who seems like a pretty husky kind of guy. From his description, wasn't going to feed 2 disciples, maybe 3, let alone 12. Yet, instead of saying, "But we got to feed ourselves," they gave it away. They gave it away and trusted there would be some for them. So after He blessed it, He gave it to the disciples, they gave it away. Finances over and above the tithe must be shared, or when they are shared, they will multiply. But God, when we give God, give away what He's already blessed because we honored Him with it. Amazing things. It will multiply. He's not a bank per se that He's going to like bring interest to it. But the provisional care, the blessing, the presence, His work in our family, in our household, in our lives are going to increase. His impact on our lives and those who are we are ministering to is going to increase as we trust Him in these things. So Tithing is simply returning to God what is already His. It isn't giving, it's returning and trusting in worship. And how much more is coming through at that point. So right now, we're going to be real for a second. Not that we haven't been. But think about the things that have attacked your family. How the devourer has come in and attacked your households. The blessing and the promise of God is when we do things God's way, when we do it His way, He rebukes the devourer. There may be some of us here today who this is the reason our household is not covered fully. We're not under the protection of God because we told Him no. We told Him no. We're going to do it our way, not your way. So I want you right now just to get into that receiving position. If you would all stand up with me and just get into that receiving position. Yeah. Just get into that receiving position right now. If this has been a struggle, and if you're feeling even tight right now in your heart, which I'm kind of feeling that might be with some right now, where you're kind of even arguing with yourself. But I can't. How? No, that's the enemy attacking. So Lord, as a body and as individuals, we repent to You. We change our mind about not doing things God's way, Your way, Lord. And we say yes now that from this day forward, we lay our finances at Your altar. And as we enter 2018, we commit that a new foundation shall be established in our household, in our family, that we will bless You and honor You as You've called us to.
If married couples will just hold hands, if your husband isn't with you, if you'll just raise your hand up and stand in the gap. About 3 years after I first got saved, heard the principle of tithing. We were, there was a group of us, a mixed matched group of us, and we all learned this principle. And so I knew that there was a married couple that was struggling with tithing just the way that I, as a single person, was struggling. So God worked it out with me tithing. It was a long journey. And then several years later, I started having married people come to me and say, I don't know how to tithe. My husband doesn't want me to. I don't know how to tithe. My wife doesn't want me to. So I said, oh, I know. I've got a great idea. That couple that I met 7 years ago when we first got saved, I bet you they have it worked out. Let me call them and get advice. And I was heartbroken to hear that 7 years later, they weren't on one page. And he wanted to buy, like, I don't know, I want to say it was like comic books or something. And she wanted to tithe. And they weren't doing it God's way. And 7 years later, they were still swiping credit cards for groceries. And my heart just broke for that. I'm like, man, Lord, we got to do it Your way. So husbands and wives, I just want you to hold hands. I don't have an answer for you. If your husband's not on board, if your wife isn't bored, I can just speak for myself. If my husband isn't hearing what God tells me to do, I'm like, see ya. My first husband is him. So that's what I'm doing. I can't speak for what you have faith to do, but that's me. And Mike will tell you. Anytime he's like, oh, I'm not feeling that, I'm like, great, see ya. That's my first husband, and hopefully you'll get it too. And he does the same thing with me. So, Lord, we just submit our marriages to you, and we just ask, Lord God, that you would bring about a spirit of unity, that we would do it your way in our marriages, in our households, that not only would it be with the tithe, but with everything, our first fruits, our love for each other, our time for each other, our communication for each other. Lord, we know that finances are just a way you've rigged it so that we can talk about our priorities. We're not stupid to think that it doesn't affect every single thing that we touch. We want to be in one accord in all things in you. And so we're asking that you, Lord God, would restore our vision of good and evil. And Lord, you would cause us to be tithing families, tithing couples, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That we would all have that testimony. I also got called out the other day. I had a friend who, him and his wife have a beautiful garden. Everything that you could imagine, it looks like the Garden of Eden. It's amazing. And I was like, yeah, my garden didn't do well. And he looked at me, goes, well, did you tithe on your first fruits? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, it's in the Bible. It was like, okay. So this year, guess what I'll be doing? So thank God for the body of Christ, who just does things the body of Christ's way, the Lord's way. Amen. I know Michael closed us out, but I just had to share those things.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Lord, we just release right now your blessing.